Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
This podcast is brought to you by Anchor.fm, the absolute best and easiest way to host your podcast and get paid for it by running ads just like these. And take it from me, I've hosted at least 7 of my podcasts on Anchor.fm. I recommend it to every show on our network. And other hosts are going to charge you upwards of $100 every year just to run your podcast on their host. Anchor.fm does it for free. So go check out Anchor.fm for more information.
Robots Radio presents
The Cyberpunk Lorecast.
Welcome to the Cyberpunk Lorecast, where style is just as important as substance. Welcome to the podcast where we explore the lore, news, and gameplay of the Cyberpunk games and other dystopian worlds. I'm your host, Robots.
I should probably update that intro at some point and change the end part of I'm your host, Robots, because I say it all the time anyway. I should probably just cut that part out. Anyway, we'll do some editing later. Welcome back to the Cyberpunk Lorecast. I'm your host, of course, Tom or Robots, and I am here with my co-host, Captain Logan. Logan, how are things?
Things are going great. I'm really excited that we get to dive into the Night City Wire 4th episode.
Yes.
Looking forward to it.
Yes, and that is what we're diving into this week. We're going to go through some news. There's a bunch of news we need to hit as quick as we can to get through it, because we are very excited to dive into Night City Wire 4 and talk about some vehicles and styles and things. Before we get to that, first of all, I want to apologize. This episode is a little bit late this week. I've been fighting some migraines and then having some schedule issues, but I wanted to make sure that Logan would definitely be on the show with me, so we've been trying to coordinate this. So we're recording this on a Tuesday. This will be coming out as soon as possible on the feed once I get everything mixed down and put out there for you guys, so you shouldn't have to wait too much longer than you normally do. But before we really get into this, I want to start out this episode with our biggest news. I've been talking with our Telsorian Games, and if you guys remember, I had Jay Gray on the show a few months back and had a really great interview with him. Well, we have set up this is an amazing opportunity. Cody Pondsmith from our Telsorian, the people who made Cyberpunk, the people who, like, we are pulling the lore out of the books that they write, will be joining us on a future episode in the coming weeks. And one of the things that they even suggested this was that we get a bunch of questions from the community in order to have Cody answer lore, or, you know, some of like the tabletop RPG questions, things like that. Because remember, they're not the same company as CD Projekt Red, who is building Cyberpunk 2077, the video game. They are the people behind the, you know, the lore and the details of the Cyberpunk world. So step one, we are asking for questions. So if you have lore questions or game questions from the tabletop series, then please join the Discord. There is a channel called Cyberpunk Questions or something like that on there. You'll find it. It's easy to find. And post your questions in there. We might pull some of those for the interview. But the big news is that we have set up a second tier on the Patreon now. So there's the first tier, which is minimum $3, or pay what you want. If you pay $25, you hit the second tier, that gets you into a monthly chat episode with us. So you can join me and Logan at the end of each month, usually the last Sunday, because Sunday nights will be the regular shows from this point on. And you can join us on the episodes and talk about Cyberpunk, the things you're excited about, the things you've been doing in the game, maybe some of your tabletop experience, some of the lore that you've been digging into. We can decide on whatever topic you guys want to talk about each month and dig into that. But the big thing here is, if you sign up at that level before the interview episode with Cody Pondsmith, then you can also join us live to ask questions with him, which would be phenomenal. I know that that's a big opportunity for some of you guys. So check it out, patreon.com/cyberpunklorecast. You'll find the tiers and all the stuff. And if you can't join us at that tier, you can't be a patron, that's totally fine. Pitch us the questions in the Discord. We might pull your questions anyway. So that's the big news this week of what's going on with our show. So don't miss out if this is something you really, really want to jump into. We haven't set a specific day yet for the interview, but it will be coming up in the next few months. So don't dilly-dally too long. Logan, we also have a deal here for $10 off Amazon pre-orders. This has been pushed, and I know you've pre-ordered, I've pre-ordered, but if any of you guys are kind of sitting on the fence going, maybe there'll be a deal, this is the deal. Like, the game is a $60 game. It's going to be coming out on PC, Xbox, PlayStation. And if you click the link in the show notes, you can go and check out Amazon right now, pre-order, and make sure you get a day of. And because this is an affiliate link, you will also help support our show. So kind of double benefit, and it's no extra cost to you, and you save $10 on the game. And we all know it's going to be awesome. So why not save $10 instead of having to pay full price when it comes out? So there you go.
I remember back in the day, they used to actually have like a cool program in their Prime program. They're like, oh yeah, did you want to get like some, you save like 20% off when you pre-order games? And we're like, yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, cool, we're gonna cut that out. And we're like, how about no?
I think many people were probably, they probably did the math on it and they expected like some percentage of people would actually use it, and more people did than they were wanting. They were expecting, yeah. And then it was like, oh crap, we're losing too much money on this. Not a good idea.
Bezos. He has the money. Just let us have discount.
Yeah.
Paying for Prime.
This
is going to be a good deal for anyone that wants to get it beforehand, for sure, too. $10 is a big deal, especially as we're getting closer and closer to next gen, and people are going to be like, I'm okay spending $70 on a video game.
Oh my God.
Keep it at 50.
Yeah. And this is one of those games that, like, many games, especially games that come out on PC, go on sale within, you know, 3 to 6 months after they come out. And sometimes you can get them for like half price or even less. High quality games don't. Like, this game will be in that $50, maybe $40 range at the lowest for like the next 2 or 3 years. Is my bet. I watch prices for games all the time because, as we were talking in the pre-show, I'm pretty careful with the things that I'm buying.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are the two biggest news. Save some money on Amazon, and if you want to ask questions with Cody Pondsmith, then you can do that. But let's get into some other news. Logan, what else do we have on the list?
Oh, man. Well, there is, I want to bring this up because I want people to go check it out. But Mad Queen had an opportunity to jump into one of her shows on YouTube and got to interview Mike Pondsmith. So we were just talking about Cody Pondsmith. Mm-hmm. She actually got to speak to Mike for, I want to say it was like Mad 2 Mike. Hours. Yeah, Mad Mike, the man who killed your cyberpunk character. It's great. He's got the most soothing voice and speech cadence of anyone. Like, I was listening to him at work during the interview, and I was like, I can't listen to him right now. I have to work. I have to stay awake. So
right.
There's a really, really good episode that she got to talk to him about a ton of lore. So that's out into the YouTube world. I'd recommend people, if you have 2 hours to kill, like before bed, and you'd want to piecemeal it, that's a good thing to do. But I'm going to be diving into that later on when I get some time and I can sit in front of the computer and actually start mm-hmm. pulling out some of them tidbits of lore.
And it's a long episode too, with lots of details. So you'll want to take your time Super and get through dense. That. I'll share the link in the chat for anybody who wants to bookmark it, and then it'll also be in the show notes later on.
Definitely.
Speaking of Mad Queen, that's somebody we need to get on the show on a future episode.
She's awesome.
She does some really good stuff. Yeah. We're all in the same circles, but we haven't really met yet, you know? So we should probably reach out to people and be like, hey, we love the same stuff you love. Let's be friends.
Yeah,
in that voice, because really that works really well.
I hear the women love that.
Yeah, that's how I got my wife. Hey, I like this thing and you like that same thing. You want to be friends? And she was like, oh my God, yes.
That went completely the other way. I did not expect it to go that way.
You gotta say yes and, man. You gotta, that's the way improv works.
That's great.
Yeah.
But so we gotta dive into it. Night City Wire 4 came out. It was last Thursday, and man, I was really happy to see this. I can't wait to see if there's gonna be a fifth one before launch. I imagine we'll probably get one.
They've got time.
It's like, yeah, probably closer towards the first week or two of November, just before launch, they'll probably drop a fifth one. Who knows what they're going to cover in this time. But this time, we got some really amazing announcements. The one that I wanted to kick it off with is kind of the more interesting thing. The thing that I wanted to kind of touch on real quick was it was finally announced that Stadia will be getting day and date Cyberpunk 2077. If you don't know, I've got a buddy of mine, Run Jump Stomp. He actually has a Stadia podcast called StadiaCast. And a lot of people in the traditional gaming space tend to frown at Stadia and a lot of the streaming services for games because of either the monetization or just the fact that you're not having, like, not playing on a actual hardware natively in your home. And it was an interesting concept because to me, I think streaming games, when the tech gets there, when the tech is available to everyone, I think everyone will eventually want to move to this. There's going to be the outliers, obviously, with any community, but
sure. Sure.
I think a lot of people having the opportunity to play games wherever you want on whatever device you want is a really cool futuristic right. concept.
Well, but to jump in real quick, people still collect people still collect Blu-rays, but most people will watch movies on Netflix.
Exactly.
It's that kind of thing.
So it's the convenience that really pushes people towards consuming content, whether it be video games, movies, books, what have you. I mean, hence podcasts, news in your ears when you want it. Yep. So with this, I reached out to him and I was like, hey, I'm just curious from your group of people that typically follow you on Twitter. He's got a pretty Nintendo Stadia focused fan base that follow him. I reached out to him and asked him if he could do a Twitter poll to kind of find out, you know, with Stadia getting announced and people looking to play it there, how excited was the Stadia community to get to play this? Were they planning mm-hmm. on pre-ordering it through Stadia?
Yeah.
And 65% of the roughly 500 people that voted by the time I grabbed the numbers were going to be picking up Stadia or Cyberpunk on Stadia. And I thought that was really interesting because it was one of those things where, to me, Stadia is the future of what gaming will be for a lot of convenience factors. Mm-hmm. You may sit down for like your Criterion experience for like the next Last of Us game or the next God of War game, what have you. But for most games, you know, if you want to play like a round of COD, you'll grab your phone, you'll grab your controller, or your touch controls, or Fortnite. People are already doing that. And I wanted to know, like, with an offline first player game, how apt to playing on a streaming service would people be? And it turns out most people on Stadia are looking forward to this. They're really pumped. They want to play it on Stadia. They don't want to have to concede to have to play it on one screen, on one device. They're really looking forward to this. So I think this is exactly what Stadia needs to get to a point where people are starting to pay more attention to streaming services. You know, if Luna comes out or Luma, I can't remember which one it is. If that comes out and they're like, hey, we got Cyberpunk as well too. Having day and date content for big games like this is really going to push the needle on acceptance for people willing to try it out. So I just thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, that is cool. I love my hardware. I'm a hardware guy. I mean, I need mm-hmm. to do a video of my like studio setup sometime, just show everybody the ridiculous crap I've got all over the place. But I get the convenience thing. And there are definitely times where I'm, you know, I've got my phone and I'm just like, man, it'd be really nice to be able to play something on this that I really want to play, you know, because like,
yep.
I'm not into most phone games, but if I had a controller and I could set my phone in front of me and I didn't have a TV available or my PC in front of me, then yeah, why not? Why not play some Cyberpunk? You know, like the convenience, it's the convenience exactly. thing. And even if there's a slight little bit of lag, it's probably, you know, or like so many games, you have different things you can do in them. like maybe I won't play like the super twitchy shooter part of the game, but maybe I'll go knock out some achievements or maybe go collect things by just moving, running around the world and driving a car, which doesn't require as much coordination, you know?
Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite things was I was playing Ghost of Tsushima on PlayStation Now or PlayStation Play. I can't remember what app it was, but the app that lets you play streaming on your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Streams it from your console. And I was playing that and it was really, you know, I wasn't expecting to go into any like high duels or, you know, take a Mongol camp or anything, but I totally just ran around and picked up, you know, Fox Shrines.
Collected
and
all your stuff. Yeah.
Check things so that when I got home, it was like, oh, cool. Well, all that little stuff is done. Now I can focus on the story. Now I can actually sit down and commit myself to really enjoying the game. And I got all that side stuff out of the way when I was at work on my breaks and stuff.
So nice. Nice.
Really, if you choose how you spend your time, you can really capitalize on that streaming functionality. So I'm looking forward to seeing how Stadia fans like it with the experiences and stuff. But that isn't even the big news about the Night City Wire. That was just like a little bit of a thing on the side for most of us.
Right.
What we really wanted to get into was diving into the actual vehicles of the game and in the style. So I'll let you decide. Did you want to jump into the cars or did you want to jump into the style?
Let's do the style stuff first, because I think that might apply a little bit to the way the cars look. But we'll do the style stuff first, and then after the middle break, we'll do all the cars and things. And I've got some clips here. So if you guys aren't watching live and you want to see us pull up the actual clip so you can see them better, then check out this video. It'll be up on the Robots Radio YouTube channel. But side note, off show, we need to talk about Ghost of Tsushima's multiplayer co-op mode, because I got to try that out the other day and it seems very cool also. But anyway, too many games. There's too many good games, everybody. What's going on?
So hard.
All right. So let's dig into the style stuff. So here's a video. Actually, let's do this this video with Johnny Silverhand real quick before we get into the style stuff. What do you say?
Yeah.
All right.
Did you get a chance to watch this?
Yep. I'm implants. There it is. Hold on. I gotta back it up just a hair, and then put it up on the screen so everyone can see it. All right, check this out.
Guns. Live implants.
Brought to you by Tom.
Right there. Do you see that? Johnny Silverhand's face and his metal or silver arm pushing a dude who is not V, as far as we know. He's not. Maybe he's a custom character. I don't know, but probably not. Up against a mirror. What the heck? What do you think about this, Logan?
I really don't know. I honestly don't know. I saw this and I was just like, wait, what? This isn't V. This is someone else.
Right.
And so I'm really trying to work out, like, in my head, like, are we going to be traveling back in time, or are we going to be doing, like, because it doesn't look like a brain dance. It doesn't look like it's got none of the UI on how to, like, deal with a brain dance. So is this a flashback?
Right.
Is he alive? Because I feel like he's dead. He's dead and he has to stay dead. That's the only way I can feel this is going to work out. So it's got to be a flashback.
Sabil29 really, in chat says we're definitely going to play Johnny in a flashback. So is this a gameplay moment? Say, there's no UI on the screen.
It's so strange. It's so absolutely strange, and I'm really kind of curious, because I would love to know. They've said that you know, Johnny is, or that Keanu Reeves isn't going to be like a romanceable character, obviously, because we're pretty sure he's dead. I would love to find out if his story is integral into our story, and that's why it's kind of like a like having that destiny, you know, like there's only one Link at any given time in the Legend of Zelda series, but one is always born during the time of the Ganon. So are we the next Johnny Silverhand in the cyberpunk world?
Is there
world?
A chosen one? Do we have a messiah kind of complex thing going? I don't know. Okay, if you want to talk thematically, literature and philosophically, messiah stuff also requires a death and a rebirth. So almost every single character who ever plays that kind of role dies and is reborn in some way, either actually dies and is brought back according to the, you know, fantasy world that where that works, or figuratively dies to the self and then is reborn or something like that. So maybe, I don't know. I mean, that's an interesting question for Cody, you know, like, is there any messiah imagery in Cyberpunk that we haven't noticed and really picked up on? That could be a sneaky connected
way to get around that.
Yeah. But yeah, interesting stuff. I'd love to hear what you guys think about this. Let's move on. We only have so much time on this show. We can't go extra long because Logan's got to go to work at some point, and I want to make sure we get through everything. So let's talk about styles. Let's talk about, we could talk about the Mantis Blades. That footage in the Arisaka surveillance was pretty dope, pretty badass. Yeah. Of the Mantis Blades just lopping guys' legs and arms off. Go look up the video for that. That was pretty cool.
The interesting thing was the glorification of that scene in the show that was going on during that. Like, it was really clear that they were showing it off because they were excited about how badass it was, and it was like, that is pretty horrific. That person is fighting for their life, and we're sitting here talking about how cool it looks, but they're doing the same thing in the game, and I'm like, oh, that is a weird world that they're living in. But anyway, yeah, I wanted to jump into the four styles. So
yeah,
we got four styles here, and if anyone's seen any of the artwork all you have to do is look at the cover of the book, and you've got the four styles right here. So yep. it's real easy to look. You've got the kitsch, yeah. the entropism, the neo-militarism, and the neo-kitsch. And it's really cool. Oh, you even got a better thing.
Yeah, I just pulled it up. This is a clip from the video. So, and you can see it here. Just really roughly speaking, kitsch is based on what is it, like 80s, 90s aesthetic, bright colors. Putting fashion and style ahead of substance is kind of the way they describe it. Entropism is just pulling anything together to you take what you can because you can't be picky. Whereas kitsch is being picky, right? It's the, I only wear certain styles or only certain fashions because I need to look a certain way. Entropism is the flip side of that, of I just wear what I can because it's what I got. And then neo-militarism is kind of kitsch inverted in that it is all function and not necessarily form. So there is some style to it. You can't say that it's without style. Like, entropism is basically the idea of like not focused on style at all, and so that is the style. Neo-militarism is all about function. So and that's why it's militarism, right? It has to do with getting things done, wearing the equipment that you need in order to, you know, take somebody down or accomplish your goal, that kind of thing. And then, of course, you have neo-kitsch, which is kind of the return to fashion, to style over substance, with pushing the edge of like the most recent styles and boundaries, even when it comes to augments and those kinds of things. So I think that's probably a quick way to sum that up.
Yeah, the interesting thing that I liked that came from this video talked a lot about how the neo kitsch is celebrities, brain dance stars, business magnates, and their heirs to the corporate fortunes, and that a lot of them are they were neo-militarism, mm-hmm. And then they abandoned that to return to the kitsch lifestyle. So they kind of took that celebrity status. So they have all the neo-militarism in their style, but they definitely add the chrome, they add the gold, they add the style, the 80s, the chrome or the neons and stuff, and they really just kind of ramp it up. And that's where a lot of like your kitsch fashion will kind of derive from, because fashion usually kind of staggers down. It starts with the really, really out there stuff, and then by the time it gets to your store, it's much more usable and much more day-to-day. So
right.
it's really interesting to see just how things have gone. The one interesting thing that I found out about this was had a bit of an interesting timeline, which was the entropism. I'm saying that wrong. So let me have that. That was from the folks that had actually survived the fourth corporate war between 2020 and 2023. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Kitsch style over substance, and it's interesting because it feels to me like that started in 1998 when Coronado Bay was renamed Night City, and then in 2008 the celebration or the creation of Brain Dance. So Kitsch started, and it was kind of like our 80s and 90s, whereas entropism, I'm still saying that. How do you say that?
Entropism. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Entropism?
Like okay. Entropy. Entropism. Mm-hmm.
Right. There we go. I'm crazy. Yeah. Get over it, folks. I'm sorry.
I'm crazy.
So... for me, in my mind, I was thinking like when people were surviving the fourth corporate war, that felt very much like what we had to do back in 2008 during the stock market crash, where everyone was like getting foreclosed on, people lost their jobs, their homes, and you had to do what you had to do to survive. And that's very much what happened to the folks that survived between 2020 and 2023. And it wasn't until we kind of got past that, which I'm sure they're going to be diving into in Cyberpunk Red. And then as we get even further into Cyberpunk 2077, we'll start to see that neo-militism, or that new militarism, that new Kitsch with the neo-Kitsch and stuff. So really, it was kind of cool to see like them break it out by timeline and kind of show like our history reflected in the cyberpunk world.
Yes. Well said. Yeah. And also neo-Kitsch has a... what is that, a leopard with a leash?
Yes. Yeah.
Look over here. Look on this side right here in the image. There's a lot more imagery in that you can actually see in the video, but I love that that's in that picture. Yeah. So yeah.
I wonder if that's one of those fake ones too, because
right,
like animals are pretty rare in the future.
Not.
So
or not, because yeah, they're maybe showing it off. Maybe that's part of the neo-Kitsch is actually having a real leopard.
An actual one,
an
yeah.
An actual that's biological real leopard. Maybe.
I like it. You ready to get into cars?
Yeah, why don't we move to the middle of the show, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about cars.
Good call.
Have you ever wondered how deep the Elder Scrolls lore rabbit hole goes? Have you got a grasp of the basics and want to find out more about the universe? Written in Uncertainty is here to help you. We'll be mixing in philosophy, theology, and whatever other theory is useful with Elder Scrolls texts to untangle some of the biggest questions in the series, like what are Dragonbreaks, how does Chim work, where did the Dwemer go, and more. Check us out at writteninuncertainty.com or find Written in Uncertainty on any podcatcher. Thanks for listening, and catch you later in the Grey Maybe of Tamriel.
All right, we're in the middle of the show. I mentioned the Patreon at the top of the show, and thank you to all of our patrons for supporting the show. If you'd like to get ad-free episodes and early episodes and also the opportunity to join us on the show, then check out the two different tiers that you can subscribe to on patreon.com/cyberpunklorecast. Also, this show is brought to you by our sponsors for the Robots Radio Network, and we've collected a number of them, including audiobooks.com. And so look in the show notes. There are a bunch of deals for you guys. And you guys are getting the main benefit of this. So like audiobooks.com, 3 free audiobooks, no cost. There's discounts for things like Loot Crate and Gamefly and Green Man Gaming and NordVPN. So just check those out, and they might change every so often, but check the links in there for those. I'm not going to spend too much time talking about that. But if you do have a book in mind that you'd like to listen to, then go click the link for audiobooks.com. It'll send us a little bit of, we get a little bit on the back end for you guys going there and doing that, and you get free books. So go check that out. All right, let's get back to the rest of the episode. All right, so we've got cars to talk about. And we've been kind of talking around cars for a while now that we've got Night City Wire 4 with a breakdown of a bunch of the cars, we've got so much more information that we can dig into. So we got some reveals and some background on the development of the cars, the way they recorded the audio, the way they drove them around on test sites and modeled cars after real world cars and all of this kind of stuff. There's definitely some details here that we can go over. So first of all, the cars in the game look like they're going to be very highly customizable and that you're going to find variations of the same model depending on, say, who the owner was and what kind of life path they lived, how they may have updated or modded the car based on, you know, was it a gang car? Was it used for assault reasons? Was it just a clunker that was used by some guy who lived in the city? Was it a nomad's car and they took something and you know, replaced the doors on it and the bumpers in order to do things that they needed to do out in the wastes? You know, there lots of different variations, and I'm assuming things that we as V will be able to update and modify on our cars when we get them. Also here, there's information that there will definitely be racing in the game. There's a number of different areas that we will be able to go on racing quests. And I would imagine, like many other games, that these are probably the kinds of things you come across in the main quest line as it just kind of unfolds. And then if you want to do the side quests and do more racing, you can do them, or you can just kind of not do them. What do you think, Logan?
I think so. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how these turn out too, because it's kind of like the old Grease movie where you're racing for pink slips and stuff. And I'm looking forward to this because one of the things that they talked about was for sure being ready to fight for what you know. If you win and they're not happy, you're probably going to have to shoot your way out. You may not have to. You may have to get in a fight before you can even get into the race. You know, prove yourself before you're able to get there. But I'd love to see them kind of showcase the world in a way that kind of, you know, gives you that fun, fast paced driving experience. And I really want to, you know, like, I like my Forza games and stuff. I want to go driving around in these cars. I want to see how they feel without just dealing with traffic and stuff.
Right, right. So Bill in chat says, Miles Tost confirmed in a Q&A that there isn't going to be customization of the cars by V. Or at least it would be very minor, which is interesting. I find that interesting with so much else being very customizable in this game. We do know that you will be able to buy cars from fixers or steal them. So maybe it's not as much about customization as it is about, say, finding the right vehicle that's already available somewhere with a setup that you want, or stealing it.
Yeah, that's probably on me then, because I was under the impression from what they were talking about that there was going to be a lot of customizations to the cars and that you would have access to that just based on all the different types of, like, the Quadra that we saw in the video and stuff. So really interesting that they're talking specifically about not being able to customize the look for that, considering, like, just how much you can do with your body.
Right. Yeah, and not being able to keep the cars that you steal, those are, like, temporary, kind of like Grand Theft Auto. You can steal the car and drive it around, but you're not necessarily going to be able to put it in your garage and pull it back up again, unless you legitimately own the car. Yeah, interesting stuff. So we also know that you can summon cars like Roach in The Witcher, which gives me the image of a car standing on a rooftop, like the meme from The Witcher where Roach is, like, always standing vertically or up on top of a roof, or, you know, that was one of the funniest glitches that you'll find in The Witcher 3. But maybe we'll get cars in weird locations. Probably not, but who knows? A boy can dream.
It'll be funny to see how the pathing works on that when they try to, like, roll up. Like, who are they going to run over as they're trying to get to you?
Some poor guy's walking down the street and he's like, and just, you know, squishes them. Also, there's other big news here. There is one actual real world car in the game, and it is a Porsche 911, which is Johnny Silverhand's car from 1977, which is pretty cool. I mean, it's a cool car. This is a very classic automobile, if you want to say it that way, and it looks really cool. It's, you know, it's very built out with the same style and the color palette and all that. What do you think about that, Logan?
I think it's really cool. It's a classic car. The 911s that they're talking about are a hard to find car nowadays. They're actually really, really expensive. And if anyone's a fan of James Bond, you've probably seen, well, at least if you're watching like the Brosnan era Bond films, you're probably noticing like they give him a 911 in Die Another Day. But I also was digging around because I was like, I remember seeing one in other films and stuff too. So I actually found out that they used one in Atomic Blonde, which is a great if you like kitsch, you should watch Atomic Blonde, because it's a film in the 80s that is like the origin of kitsch. And also in Office Space, Bill Lombard's car is a Porsche 911.
Interesting.
It was kind of funny to find out about that.
Yeah. I mean, this is a classic car. This car is just one of those like styles that's just awesome looking and very recognizable. So, and that's not the only thing we have here from Johnny Silverhand / Keanu Reeves and vehicles. Keanu Reeves' Arch Motorcycles is actually being implemented into the game. Like, there will be an Arch motorcycle in the game, which is really cool. And if you don't know, Keanu Reeves is a big motorcycle guy. Obviously he's a movie star and he's into, you know, that side of things, but he also loves his motorcycles. And I believe he's a co-owner in Arch Motorcycles. He has some sort of stakes in the company, I know. But I don't know exactly what that is. So there was a considerable segment talking about Arch Motorcycles and how they modeled a new style of motorcycle based around the Arch designs for Cyberpunk 2077. So very cool. Very, very cool stuff.
Yeah, really. I thought it was cool the fact that they're, because like, he's been a big fan of motorcycles, and I love there's a really good documentary on YouTube with him and Guard kind of diving into the makings of Arch and why he wanted it. So he reached out to Guard and wanted to get a custom motorcycle, and he loved it as much that process so much that he decided he wanted to make a company with Guard, and they did that shortly after meeting back in 2007. And their motorcycles are kind of, it's like if you ever saw the OC Chopper show where they kind of had like custom builds and stuff, that's basically what Arch does. I don't know, it's just an interesting design. They've put a lot of work into that. But the cool thing about this is they took they built a custom Arch motorcycle, and then CD Projekt Red took that motorcycle and then used it as a base for the Arch line of motorcycles that are going to be in 2077. So the modern base that they created, like the futuristic base that they created in the game or in the world, they took that, and now if you're looking on screen, you can actually see this too. The 2077 versions of those look so good in game, and the sound is perfect too. It's got that deep rumble with what you get from like a typical Harley or something. It's oh man, I'm a big fan of motorcycles. I still have one that I drive around in from time to time, but I'm looking forward to this. And the in-game footage too really shows off just how fun it's going to be able to ride around, either whether you're Nomad, whether you're a night kid or a street kid, you know, it doesn't matter. You're going to have
everybody likes the motorcycle. An awesome motorcycle action sequence, you know?
Like, yeah. So I'm excited to see this.
Yeah, so I'm showing some of the video up on the screen as you've talked through this. Yeah, it seems very cool. It seems like there's different color palettes too, based on the in-game cinematics. So yeah, I didn't realize you were that into motorcycles.
Oh yeah, I've been riding street bikes I don't even know, at least 7 years. It's just, it's a lot of fun. It's the closest thing to riding on a motorcycle you can possibly, or being on a roller coaster as you can get being on a motorcycle. It's thrilling. It's so cool to be so close to the road, but yet so open and free to like everything that you're doing. So I can't wait. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be really fun.
Nice. So we also have a whole breakdown at the beginning of Night City Wire 4 of the different tiers of cars, or different types of cars, I guess you could say. Here, I want to show these on screen because they do a very good job of explaining some of this, and hopefully this works well for audio as well. I think it might, but we'll go into a little bit of details after each section. So first we have the economy cars.
Don't expect advanced tech or luxurious materials here. Nuh-uh.
Yeah, it's not the size that counts, I guess. You can
have your— This class is mostly utility vehicles and low-end clunkers made for every pocket.
Hold on. It's a wreck.
My damn wreck.
Well, definitely no guy or girl mech.
So those are the low-end and also utility vehicles. We have the first one you see is like the really itty-bitty short, like almost like a smart car, but it's very boxy and like a triangle in the front, is the Mai-Mai? The Mikagi Mai-Mai. It's a two-door, two-seat, 70-horsepower Japanese vehicle made in 2032. By the time this 2077 rolls around, that's like a 35-year-old car. Am I doing the math right?
Yep.
45-year-old car? Jeez. It's a very funny looking little vehicle. I think that I hope there are situations where we absolutely have to ride in it just because you have to. But we also get things like the Hella, the Archer Hella, the Thornton Colby. These are the station wagons and the grocery getters. And then they also show some clips of just a big utility van or a, kind of low end police vehicle driving around the city. Any thoughts on these, Logan?
What's interesting, so there was some interesting stuff in that they're showing all these economy cars. Now, if you go into the art book, there's actually going to be some brands that are going to show off like low tier, mid tier, and high tier. A lot of the vehicles I noticed that they showed in what they consider like the executive and the economy areas, as far as cars are concerned, are in the mid tier of these. I think the Mai-Mai is actually the one that's in the low tier, whereas like the Archer and Thornton brands are kind of in the mid tier. So those are going to be like your sedans. And it's funny to see, as I was like kind of pulling info from a lot of these vehicles, one of them, the Kobe, that's a US brand. The Hella is a China brand. The Mai-Mai is a Japanese brand. Most of these are going to be created sometime between 2023 in 2060. So if you look at most of the vehicles that you'd see on the roads nowadays, for example, like I drive a 2014 and my wife drives a 2008, even though we're in the year 2020, you're going to notice that a lot of the vehicles in Cyberpunk 2077, mm-hmm. same situation where you're going to be seeing a lot of older vehicles because just of how long cars last, especially given the fourth corporate war and how people have had to try and retrofit a lot of these economy cars with cybernetic stuff, with enhancements to try and add some smart stuff to these cars. So you're going to see a lot of weird hoses and lines and solar panels and stuff on these kind of junkier looking cars, which is, it's got its own little flavor to it. I kind of like that.
Yeah, it's got its own little aesthetic. And we've got people redeeming loot packs. That's a little sound that you're hearing. So people who get to hang out and chat can collect points for the channel and redeem them for loot packs for the stream. So there you go. So let's jump into the executive vehicles. Here's the next section.
If you need to impress, look to this class alone.
Put my ride on the line. Either you match it in cash, or you can forget about the fight.
With these wheels, no expense has been spared, no frill ignored. Their plush interiors decked out in all the latest tech, while you get to sit back and enjoy the ride.
So, here's my question for you, Logan. What's with the double front wheels? So some of these executive cars, they look like a Cadillac or something, but there's two wheels, double sets of wheels in the front. So the car has six wheels, four in the front, one in the, like two in the back.
It's for a double dose of pimpin'.
Double dose of pimpin'.
Everyone knows this.
Double pimpin'. That's a popular song in Cyberpunk 2077 world.
Yeah, it's really funny, the design choice. It really does kind of, because I mean, if you think a lot of kind of that that culture that really kind of reveres the Cadillacs and the El Caminos and stuff. A lot of that is around some of like the hydraulics that you can put into it, but also the rims. You know, a lot of work goes into to choosing the right type of rims. And if you got more wheels, you got more rims. So you get to show that off.
True. I hadn't thought about it that way. More wheels equals more. That's 50% more rims than a regular car.
Solid math checks out.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big percent upgrade.
It really does show off like the luxury that they're trying to show off. You know, they obviously know that they aren't going to be driving it around in the hypercars that we'll dive into in a bit. But, you know, they want to have that lush experience.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's all for show and comfort. So. Yep. All right. Let's. I want to make sure we get through all this before you run out of time. We've got the heavy duty vehicles coming up next. Check these out.
Masterful engineering and practical design. Trucks and tanks for when you need power and brute force.
Hell of a machine.
Meet Beast, my pride and joy.
And these monsters are literally unstoppable.
There's quite a variety that we get to see in this, even in the short amount of time. Everything from trucks to what are almost assault vehicles, things that look kind of like a Humvee body type. But I think the thing I love about this is also the tractor trailer without the trailer. Vehicles like the just like just like the funny looking ones, but there's so much to this. I mean, there's physics of driving over other vehicles. These things look like they handle and are heavy the way you would expect them to be, and so that's exciting because I would imagine you're gonna have quests where you get in a big old armored like truck or something and just have to bust through other cars in order to just, you know, do whatever it is that your goal is for that quest.
One of the things that I wanted to dive into a little bit with this one is there's two things, actually. The one that I wanted to pick out right now was the fact that in the garage, you're talking to one of the shop owners, and she references the fact that she calls the vehicle in there the Beast. And it made me think about how a lot of the legendary weapons that we get in game are going to have very particular names. And that makes me wonder, for certain quests, are we going to have access to very specialized vehicles, ones that are specifically made for a certain task, and we'll be able to have like a custom experience as a reward, maybe, you know, say like we complete a job with the Beast and the shop owner, you know, like gets killed or something dramatic, and we're now inheriting the Beast from them, or something interesting like that, that gets added to our list of different vehicles, as opposed to just like a random Quadra or a random limo or, you know, what have you, but
right. Like a legendary vehicle. Or at least you get like the you unlock the trophy or whatever called Beastmaster after you complete that quest.
Exactly. Right. That'd be perfect.
Yeah.
That's great. And the other thing that I wanted to bring up too is we, in the past episodes, if you guys go back, you can find it. You'll find that we dove into a lot of the armored vehicles and stuff like that. This really kind of dove into the fact that a lot of the vehicles that they showed off in this video are actually created in the Soviet Union. And most of them are actually created roughly within the last 20 to 30 years of 2077. So it's clear that like some of the bigger, more utility trucks are Soviet based, whereas some of the more armored trucks, like for example, the Behemoth is a Militech vehicle. So there's a good chance you're going to be driving around in some of those armored vehicles, some of those tanks in the game. And I wonder if that has more to do with the Corpo life path than some of the other ones, or, you know, how are we going to get access to the Militech stuff?
I would imagine that they're not going to section off this based on life path, although maybe it's easier to access the, like, for example, you're on a quest which ends up with you stealing a tank in order to blow up a facility. Let's just say something like that, right? So no matter what life path you pick, no matter what style of gameplay you play, what character you make, you're still going to be able to get the tank and go blow the thing up. But if you're a corpo, maybe you have connections that get you into the facility to steal the tank without having to have to take anybody down, because it's an Arasaka facility or something, you know, like I would imagine something like that is probably more at play. with this. Yeah. But that's just off
cool
the top
stuff
of my head.
Though.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into the next one. We got sports vehicles. Let me get this up on the screen. Here we go.
These are for chooms who love the smell of exhaust and the roar of street wildlife. Their powerful engines and exchangeable parts make them perfect for tuning.
Come on! I want to smell that choo-choo burn!
Whether it's street racing, running from the NCPD, or just showing off in the streets, with these high-powered beasts, you will have only respect. If you need.
So with these, because we have sports and then we have hypercars, the sports to me seem more in line with things like American muscle cars, the kinds of cars that you are road approved. But, you know, if you want to go 0 to 60 quickly in a road approved car, you're going to get a muscle car or something like that. But they're not necessarily built the same way that, say, something like a NASCAR car would be, or a supercar would be, in that it's designed to absolutely hug the ground and use aerodynamics and those kinds of things. It's just a very strong engine in a cool looking car shaped body.
So one of the interesting things, because the Quadra brand is a U.S. brand. A lot of their vehicles are made generally after the fourth corporate war, back in like 2055. And the one difference, because most of these, I love the Type 66, because the Type 66 is kind of the one that they've been showing off the most. The horsepower for it is 666. I absolutely love that.
That's great. That was 100% intentional.
Yeah, totally intentional. The interesting thing that I found out about most of the American-made sports cars is, for one, they look like Mustangs and Lamborghinis, which is kind of ironic. But they have a windscreen that's labeled as a glass V, GLASV. So it kind of suggests to me that they've got some heads-up display elements that can show up on the actual screen, compared to, say, like a hypercar, which we'll be diving into, which is some of them have glass V, but most of them are going to have, I think it's a crystal dome, which is kind of that opaque thing that reflects the actual thing. But I love that they're giving us the muscle cars for us to be able to drive around in. I think a lot of people are going to gravitate towards those, just because they've shown those off the most. I'm personally kind of hoping for a hypercar, though, not going to lie.
But, yeah, I mean, they are pretty cool. They're cool in different ways, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, very much so.
Yeah. Muscle cars, we're talking more kitsch, you know, like more classic kind of style. And then hypercars, we're talking more neo kitsch. Like, these are like, yeah, obviously these cost more than your house. So let's take a look at these.
Speed and armor, the hypercar class is for you. It means precise bodywork, built-in LiDAR arrays, and really expensive materials.
Imagine you're sitting on a pile of eddies. Probably less than 1,000 people in the world can afford the Aerondyte.
Not your typical urban vehicle.
They will take you places you never dreamed you'd go. Oh, and original vehicles are not all...
So they cut into some other stuff there. The thing that is most notable about these, beyond just the descriptions and the, you know, the cost and the highest end tech, and, you know, the fact that some of them are armored, all of this stuff, is, like you were saying, that you get inside them and it looks like there's no glass, and then the display just opens up like 360 around you, and it's all, you can just see in any direction. Which is crazy, because we don't have any vehicles that I know of that work that way. It's pretty nuts.
Yeah, I love it. I think those are the quintessential futuristic, like Blade Runner style or Minority Report style. Like, those are that's the future that I want. That's the Iron Man the style that I want. The interesting thing that I noticed about those was a lot of the hypercars, very much like the Formula One stuff that we get, or, you know, where they have like the different, the really good kind of sports cars out there, the supercars and stuff. Mm-hmm. Are all Europe based. I didn't see any that were either Japanese or Korean or Chinese
or American.
or American, yeah, or even Soviet Union. Most of those are made in Europe. Surprisingly absent from the list of vehicles that we were showing off today or in this video was anything made in Germany. Like Germany is just off the books as far as like creating vehicles, which is really interesting, just given like the history that they have with creating vehicles. So I was really, really interested to see that in comparison to the plethora of vehicles that we've gotten so far. So I'm wondering if maybe that was maybe just a little too close to home for them. You know, I don't know. Maybe they just weren't interested in grabbing any of those vehicles. Who knows, you know, what reasons they had for not picking any German based.
Random chance that those just haven't been highlighted yet.
True. That is really true. We could very well have them. We just haven't seen them.
Yeah. Very limited list. Yeah. Interesting. So, okay, so you're saying you're going with, I mean, obviously hypercar. These things are like,
I want a hypercar.
These things are like multi-million dollar vehicles, right? Like in today's money, like you would have to spend $1 million in order to get something like this. But outside of hypercars, do you have like, a favorite? You have something that you're just like, oh man, I can't wait to try that out.
Oh gosh, I really love the Turbo R, which was kind of the Lamborghini style. I've always been a big kind of Corvette fan. So that's like, if they've got like a Corvette like equivalent in cyberpunk, that's the one that I'll probably go with. I love, you know, Mustangs. The Type 66 is going to be, looks awesome. Everyone's going to love the Quadras and stuff, but I would love to see like a Stingray version of a cyberpunk car in there. Honestly, if I had my druthers though, I would probably push closer towards one of the Arch motorcycles though, just because I love riding motorcycles. Yeah. But if I had to go a car, I'd probably go with the Turbo R's, which are the Quadra brand, or the hypercars.
Yeah. And there's going to be other motorcycles that we haven't even seen yet. Like, why would only have one brand of motorcycle, right? They're going to have multiple. So who knows what those are going to look like, and what kinds of, you know, are we even getting like a dome covered motorcycle? Is there going to be one that's like a Tron vehicle that you get in and it closes over top of you and you're like in your little bubble, around, you know, is this going to be something like that? The thing that I really, really, really want to see is I hope, like you were saying, I hope there are like legendary named vehicles or something like that. Who knows? We don't know for sure. If there are the Mickey guy, the funny little box car, I want one of those, but decked out with like rocket launchers and like a booster on the back. I want the most badass. I want the tiniest, funniest little car, but turned into a death machine. If that's at all possible. And if that's not at all possible, that's okay. I will move on with my life. But if this exists in the game, I need to go find it and I need to do a video on it or something. So if that's what I'm hoping for, I would love to hear you guys in chat and also listening at home or wherever you are at work or working out or wherever, what your thoughts are on the vehicles and which ones that you are specifically looking forward to. And also, your style, like, this is an RPG. We're going to be able to style our characters however we want. Which style are you going for? Are you going to go neo-militarism? Are you going to go kitsch or neo-kitsch? Are you going to just kind of, you know, basically, what's the other one? It's the equivalent of like the grunge look of just like, well, these are the pants I've got and this is the jacket I've got and I'm just going to throw everything together and this is the way I look. Like which style are you going to go for? How are you going to do this? You know, I would imagine if you're going corpo, you're probably going to be like neo-militarism or neo-kitsch if you want to fit that style. But you could always break it up. You could do something, mix things up in a different way. You could be a nomad that goes neo-militarism and, you know, just mixes it up. So I'd love to hear some of your thoughts on some of that stuff. Logan, anything else before we get going?
No. I picked up, I don't know if anyone in the US has seen these yet, but the Rockstar Cyberpunk cans are out there. They've got a tab underneath the actual can, so if you guys are out there and I don't know, you don't necessarily have to drink it if you're not really of that, but those cans are out there. They've got a code. It gives you $1 in the Xbox ecosystem for being able to purchase stuff, and it gives you an entry that you can redeem to win, you know, costume or not costume stuff, but Exclusive gear. You're in the running for a Quadra car, or at least a make of a Quadra in real life. And there's a comic, Where's Johnny, that we talked about in one of the past episodes. It takes three cans or three codes to be able to unlock the actual comic. The comic itself is pretty rough. I'm going to be honest. They didn't spend a whole lot of time really making like a detailed artwork, but it kind of dives into the Where's Johnny. And from what I can tell, and I'm not going to dive into too much of the spoilers for it, it's something that takes place pretty close to when we've talked about in the past with Johnny dying, pretty close to that story that we talked about with as far as like Soul Killer and stuff. But from the perspective of a media. So it's interesting so far. There's only the three comics in the series, so I've got the first two. I'm just waiting to get another can so I can get the third one. But keep an eye out for that if you guys are interested.
Cool stuff. And remember, if you are interested in picking up the game, it's $10 off right now on Amazon. There's a link in the show notes for you guys to use to get that. And hopefully you will be picking up this game. If you're listening to the show, then chances are you're as excited as we are. And you'll be diving in just a month. We're less than a month away. Holy yes. Crap. Yes. I
can't wait.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about before we go? Any podcasting or other stuff?
Pretty much it. If you guys are looking for spooky, scary skeletons, Sea of Thieves is going to be having the Halloween event coming up soon. Stay tuned for Keel Hauled Podcast if you guys want to get more information about that. If you want to get a hold of me, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter at @CAPT_LOGUN or join the Robots Radio Pod Discord server and join mm-hmm. us in the Keel Hauled or the Cyberpunk or any of the other channels.
You
can always tag me at Captain Logan. I'll be in there keeping an eye on things, seeing what everyone's chatting about.
Yep. And you can follow us on Twitter at Cyberpunk Lorecast, I believe. I have so many Twitter accounts now. Or you can just follow me at Robots_radio on Twitter. And it's the Robots Radio account, but I run it and you'll see my name on there. And I'd love for you guys to follow me on there and come by, hang out for some of our streams in the future. We're going to be playing some games, we're doing all sorts of fun stuff. And check out all the rest of the shows at robotsradio.net. I think that's it for this episode. I think we're done. And I'm sure there are things that we didn't cover, like cosplay stuff, but go check out Night City Wire 4 if you haven't watched it. There's a whole bunch of stuff. You should go look at it. Let us know your thoughts. And we'll see you guys next week on Sunday night. Join us Sunday night, and we'll see you. Until next time, stay safe in Night City. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Cyberpunk Lorecast. This show is a part of the Robots Radio Network, smart podcasts for interesting people. If you'd like to help support the show, please tell a friend and leave a 5-star review on iTunes. If you'd like to get in contact, please send an email to cyberpunklorecast@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter at cyberpunklore. Also, join the community on the Robots Radio Discord. The link is in the show notes. The music on the show was written and performed by The Midnight and was used with their permission. Go check them out at themidnightofficial.com. Until next time, stay safe in Night City. We'll talk to you later.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.
In a world where solid-state electronics and vacuum tubes are still meta, people never stop loving atomic-powered everything. A chosen 500 stepped inside a subterranean vault to be spared the nuclear horror of the inevitable Great War. 25 years later, they emerge after the fallout settles to retake Appalachia. Among them, two former rivals whose blood feud will tear West Virginia apart and their epic struggle for survival. Chad, a vault bro who has a strength of 15, an intelligence of 2, and is a complete wasteland dickhead. Simon, a complicated anti-hero who chooses light and hope, but accidentally becomes a cannibal and wakes up naked and afraid with a Scorch Beast Queen after a date goes terribly wrong. What? I mean, it's a wild wasteland, right? This dark humor radio drama will have you driving off the road and crawling out from under the fallout. Two men. One wasteland. And so many nukes. Chad, a Fallout 76 podcast. Rated R. Now streaming on your holotape player podcasty thing.
Do you like adventure?
Yeah.
Do you like laughing?
Yeah.
Would you like to listen to a group of people you don't know play D&D and reference retro pop culture you vaguely remember? Excellent. You're going to love Committee Quest. We play D&D in the world of Amaran. We use adventure modules and supplements made by people in the community. We also have a sweet synthwave backing track. Come and join us on our adventure. Volume 1 has been completed. Volume 2 coming the end of January. You can find us on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Are you a fan of Elden Ring? Are you confused about the lore as pretty much everyone else? We've got you covered. Check out the Elden Archives, a lore podcast that helps to explain every little confusing detail about the Lands Between. Things like what exactly happened on the Night of the Black Knives, or what we really know about characters like Mikala. Just like the show you're listening to now, we're on the Robots Radio Network, so you know it'll be good. Wondering how to find the show? Easy. Either go to robotsradio.net or search Elden Archives on whatever podcatcher you're using right now. Bookmark the show for later, and we'll see you in the Lands Between. Again, that's The Elden Archives, FromSoft Lorecast, available everywhere.